So church, let's just pray together. Gracious, loving God, we hear your word. We hear your word found in the Bible. And Lord, we just ask today that your word open up into our lives. May it speak deeply into our lives of your love for us, your command for us to love one another, to be connected to you. Oh Lord, may you bless your word. May you bless the words that I'm going to bring today. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now, after a week where we had a little break, we're into our last of our seven-week series looking at the seven I am statements of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. So far, we've looked at, can anybody remember all of them? Can you see them up on the screen? If we've got the hint, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, the resurrection, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last one is, I am the true vine. Fantastic. Well done. I can go home now. No. Oh, sorry. Before I go into and delve into the kind of having a look at the seventh statement, I am the true vine, what I want to do is often when we look at the Bible, often when we're reading a passage, we focus in on what that passage is. And we become very specific about that passage. And that's really good. That's important for us to actually have a deep understanding of that. But what I want to do is step back for a minute so that we can actually see the importance of why we've been looking at the seven I am statements and what the importance specifically around the I am the vine one is today. We need to zoom out a little bit to give us our breadth of understanding across all of this series and across who we are. And listening to what Jesus is talking to us. So, quick little insight. In John's gospel, there are seven statements that Jesus makes. It says, I am, and then he makes a statement. There are other seven times when Jesus says that I am just that. He just goes, I am. And it's that reference when he makes that statement, I am the true vine, or I am. He's referencing back to the to Exodus 3:14. And really he's going and remembering back to this point where, and I'm going to give you this little passage. I've just got a little relevant point up here. But Moses protested. So this is Moses and the burning bush, and this is where God gives his covenant name to Moses and then therefore to all of the Israelites, and says, but Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of our ancestors has sent me, then they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. You know, his name, I am, the great I am. And I love, I delve into the translations there, and occasionally, in the footnotes, you'll read when it says, I am who I am. Sometimes it says, I will be what I will be. In other words, I'm not tied down. This is who I am. I am God. I am the creator. And then it goes on, say this to my people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, and Yahweh is that transliteration of that name of God. And often devout Jewish people would say, instead of Yahweh, they would say Lord. And sometimes it's rendered as Jehovah as well. So in our translations, the God of our ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name. Notice this, I am, this whole thing, I am is my eternal name. My name to remember for all generations. So when Jesus is saying that I am, he's tapping into that. He's tapping into that he is God and he's the name that was given to Moses of God. And this creates ripples. This creates waves. Going back into the Old Testament and looking at some of these things so we can kind of get that understanding of this overall arching thing of why Jesus is going, I am the way, the truth, the light. I am the true vine. Over the centuries, People, you know, have used descriptives with God's name in order to understand the character and nature of God. So when God says that he is, you know, that his name is I Am, the Lord, or Jehovah, you'll find that in the Bible they'll have descriptors added to it to add a little bit more around that character, such as Jehovah Jireh. Has anybody heard that before? I'm sure you have, which means my Lord, my God, my provider. Or how about Jehovah Rapha? The Lord heals, indeed. Or Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Or Jehovah Shalom, you know, the Lord our peace. Or Jehovah Rach, the Lord my shepherd. And there's many more. So you can see that, you know, you're hearing this term of the name of God given with a characteristic of God. The name of God given with a characteristic of God. And when Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, he's giving his name, Jesus, God, and a characteristic of what it means that he is here. You know, Jesus also, as I said, he gave seven times that where he actually gave his own statement that I am, and just used that name, that name, which in Greek reads that, you know, the same way it would be that God is speaking here. A classic example is in John 4, verses 25 to 26, and this is just that little section of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And the woman says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain it to us. And then Jesus told her, I am, using that term for God, I am the Messiah. And goes and says that. So in John's gospel, we have these records of Jesus using that covenant name of God. And he's also using it for himself and who he is, but he also uses it in conjunction with the descriptives of his character as he talks about himself. And this is where we have the seven I am statements of Jesus. We note that the last two times that Jesus actually talks about and gives the I am statements, they actually happen in the upper room at the Passover. They happen there in this kind of space where Jesus is giving last prayers, last instructions back to his disciples. He's giving them an understanding of who he is and his character, and he's urging them to stay true to the faith. He's urging them to stay connected to what they've believed and what Jesus has taught them. He's encouraging them that even though what is about to happen, Jesus won it. He's paved the way for everybody. So we've got all of this happening. But before I delve into that, what I want to do is just share with you why this statement, you know, and you think, well, it's an agricultural statement, one about Jesus is the true vine. And we kind of think, now, is he just referencing this because everybody knows what a vine is and how it grows and how you've got to be kind of connected? Well, the answer is yes, but also there's so much more. So I'm going to just share with you a little passage, and I'll put up the little relevant section. It's not all of Isaiah 5, 1-7, but a little bit of Isaiah 5, chapter 5, verses 1-7. I'll read you that whole section for you so you've got it here. And this is Isaiah speaking to the nation of Israel here. Now I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My beloved has a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Now you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expected to see sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample on it. I will make it a wild place where the vines are not pruned. Can you hear that? The vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns, and I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord's army. The people of Judah are his pleasant gardens. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence. See, when Jesus is talking about the true vine, about who he is, the character of who he is, the true vine, he's referencing this reference back to the nation of Israel. They were meant to be the vine. They were meant to be the one that grew and gave good fruit for all. And when Jesus is doing that, he's going, actually, I am the true vine. I am the one that is connected to God. I am the one that gives life. Stay within me. I don't give bitter fruit. I give good fruit. And when he goes on and says all of this, and he goes, and the Father will prune you. Notice that in Isaiah, Isaiah is saying, he's not going to prune you. It's just going to let it grow wild and die. All of this is in their minds when he's talking about that this is what he is, the true vine. So let me just share with you that little section from John 15, verses 1 to 4, about being connected, about God pruning, about God purifying you. Let me just share with you this so that you can contrast it to what Isaiah had just been saying about Israel and the downfall of Israel and them not doing what God wanted, to actually staying and abiding in God's love through Christ and staying connected and letting God prune so that you may produce good fruit. Let's hear this. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. I love that. By the messages that Jesus has already given you. You've already been pruned, you've been honed, you've been brought in to understand God's great love for the world here through Christ. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. What a wonderful, powerful statement that we have in there. Now, while this is a statement and description of Jesus and the character of Jesus, it's also about what we're meant to do. You know, the statement and character of Jesus, he's giving here as a comfort and a message and an encouragement for the disciples to continue staying true to what Jesus has taught them, continue to stay true to what God wants them to do, continue to stay true to bearing good fruit, not to let it become bitter and impressive, but to give love and care for those around. And you know, in the passage that we had read further on, it goes on to saying, stay in the love of God. Now, I want to let you in on a little thing. You know, when Annette and I lived in Broken Hill, we lived in one of these properties out in Broken Hill, and you may actually know that like near there is Menindee, and that's a big grape growing region. They grow grapes there. We actually had a grapevine in our backyard. And it grew like mad. Have you ever known grapevine? You know, it just grew, it was on the fence and it just kept on growing. And we went, wow, isn't this amazing? Aren't we great gardeners? We did nothing. But aren't we great gardeners? This is growing like mad. There's leaves everywhere. It's green. It's wonderful. And we went, there's no grapes. We just went, oh, it had a couple of little shriveled up bunches that just like had little pinpricks of grapes on there. But the leaves are great. Kept on growing, and we were chatting with somebody who was in the church, and they said, you know, you've got to prune it. We went, oh yeah, oh that's a good biblical story, isn't it? You know, you got to prune it. And we went, yeah, okay. How? And so they told, you know, you've got to chop it back, you've got to have the second year growth and all those kind of things. So all those explaining on doing that. But it's actually really important for us to actually see that was the real understanding, that if you just let it into the growth that will just happen, if it's not pruned back, will just grow and produce these leaves, but will not bear good fruit. It will look like it's doing something, but it won't produce the fruit that gives life. And that's what God is doing in this passage. We understand this. Jesus is the true vine, and God the Father is the gardener that is pruning, is cutting off the things that are just leading to growth, wild growth and everywhere, but not producing fruit. It's actually wanting us to come back and produce the good fruit, not the bitter fruit, but the good fruit. It's more than just an imagery of vines and branches. It's about connection. This imagery is about being connected with Jesus. And it's more than just that picture of a connection. It's about a picture of purpose. The branches just aren't connected to the vine. They are there to bear fruit. And this fruit bearing is the result of the branches actually not undergoing its own effort, but what the vine is giving them. It's a result of their connection to the true vine, to what God there. So if we're thinking about our own purposes, stay true, stay connected to God. We are like those branches in our lives. Our purpose is to bear fruit, to show the world the love, the grace, the mercy of God through what we do in our life. What we do and how we treat one another, how we treat each other, and how we share the good news of Christ into the world, that is the fruit that we are to bear. And we do that by staying connected to Jesus. But what does it mean for us to be connected to Jesus? It means to believe in him, to trust in him, to rely on Jesus Christ, to abide in Christ. Belief is not just that mental state that we have. It's not just a believing in a set of facts and figures. It's a relationship. It's a reliance. It's coming in prayer. It's hearing God's word. It's actually putting into practice what Jesus taught his disciples and what Jesus is actually saying to his disciples in that upper room after the Passover is actually telling the disciples to stay true to his message, not to let it go, to actually exercise it. Even when there is persecution, even when everything looks like it's all falling apart, stay true, stay connected. And this whole thing about staying connected is so important because they're about to have Jesus separated. And he's actually saying, you need to stay connected to me. And that happens for each and every one of us. You know, this belief, this fruit that we have is bearing a public witness. It's visible. It's fruit is, when you look at a grapevine, a vine, and it's got fruit on it, it's visible. You can see them there. And that's what it means for us. If we're to bear good fruit, it has to be visible. Actually, it has to flow out from us. So let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you bearing good fruit? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves when we have this, when we're reading this passage and we look at it and we go, if Jesus is asking us and saying that he is the true vine and then he's telling us to be connected and to bear good fruit, the question is, are we bearing good fruit? Or are we like what Isaiah was saying to the nation of Israel, are we bearing bitter fruit? Now, this is such a challenge for us. It's always a challenge. Here's the thing. Whenever I read this, I actually think it's talking about me. I want to say, when I'm saying, are you bearing good fruit? I'm asking myself that question. Am I bearing good fruit? Or am I bearing bitter fruit? So what I wanted to do, I'm going to invite the band up to come up and we're going to just start with a little bit of quiet music. What I would love us to do, church, is if you just want to turn around, maybe share with people around you, just in a word of prayer, if you think that you want to bear good fruit, if you want to actually stay connected with Jesus, really come together, I would encourage you to just turn around and just go, I want to bear good fruit. Can you pray for me to bear good fruit? Doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be complicated, but just say, I want to do this. So church, do that. We're just going to play a little bit of music and then we're just going to come straight into our next worship song.